Before I get into God's word this morning, one of the things that's been recently on my heart is a few conversations I've had with some people in our church about moving in the power of God and sort of understanding how that works. And a few days ago, I was just sat on the sofas here just having a chat with someone that's been in our church for probably as long as I have. And they just said, you know, I just don't get it, Dave. How come some people in our church seem to be able to move in healing and some of them seem to be able to move in very accurate prophetic words, but I am not able? And then I just said, well, you tell me why you're not able. And then after a while, they began to just list the reasons for why they disqualify themselves from moving in all these things. And they had quite a big list. And then I just said to them, well, is any of that list on Jesus' list? Or is it just on your own list? And then they had to answer that question. And it just made me really aware that actually what God is doing in some of us is available to everybody. The only difference between the some who are doing some outrageous stuff and some that aren't is what's going on in your head. And I just wanted to invite Tosin up because I sort of threw Tosin up in the deep end the other week and I took her up to King's Arms with myself and a team that actually I spent a bit of time investing in. And Tosin kind of tagged along with us and for 2 hours had to prophesy over people she'd never met before. You know, so that's, you know, that is going in the deep end. So Tosin, I'd just love you to come up and just share sort of, you know, your experience, how that worked. So I thought it was incredibly brave of Tosin to come with myself and Jill and Christina, who are more regularly doing something like this. But we took you, Tosin, and you had a good time. So just want to want you just share your sort of side of the story of your experience last Saturday.
So first of all, Dave sent me an email asking me to come along, and I ignored it because I thought he probably meant to send it to someone else. And then the following week, he said to me, did you get my email? I said, yeah. And he goes, why didn't you respond? And I kind of didn't odd. And then I decided to go along. And to be quite honest, as a person, when I'm afraid of something, I don't think about it. So I spent the whole week not thinking about it. And then on the Saturday, I think we got sent something the Friday before, and we'd been paired up, but I didn't read it until we were on our way in the car, so I was totally unprepared. But when we got there, I think two of the things that really connected with me was Dave and another lady, was it?
Jules.
Jules said before we started that, as long as you affirm, whatever you do it from a place of love. As long as you've got the Father's heart and the Father's intention for the person you're talking to, that's all that matters. Even if you get it wrong, you know, just encourage the person. I think that made me feel safe. That gave me kind of like a freedom to just be myself. But I think what was really quite amazing was that I never worked with Christina before, so I was paired up with Christina. But there was such a natural flow, and I realized that actually my gift is so different from hers. But it was very, very compatible. It was like she would have a picture. So I don't see pictures. So when people talk about seeing pictures, I don't necessarily see. But what I get is an impression of a word. And so Christina would get a picture. I would get a word to confirm what she'd said. And that kind of happened throughout. But there was one particular time when she didn't get a picture. I got a word without a scripture. But she got I got a word, but she got a scripture. But I think what was really interesting was, like I said, we were bouncing off each other as a flow, but there was a time when this lady came in, and I didn't know anything about her. We'd met her, you know, she just came and sat down, and I started to talk to her, and I just felt like God was talking to me about fruitfulness. So I was talking about, you know, God will make you fruitful in the land of your affliction, and, you know, it was basically just talking around God's fruitfulness. And then I just remembered the scripture from Isaiah 54, which I didn't remember the quote at the time. I remember the quote, but I didn't say the actual scripture. And I said that I felt like God was saying, rejoice, O barren woman, you who've never had children, that your children will be more than the children of the woman who's married. And after, you know, we prayed with her, and then Christina said to her, does anything we say resonate? You know, if you don't have to accept anything, we could be wrong. And she said, actually, that week she'd said to God, she was at work and she didn't have a Bible with her. She had a fellow colleague who wasn't a Christian but had a Bible. And she asked him for his Bible. And she went into a room and she said to him, God, if you don't speak to me today, this is it. this is it. I'm checking out. I don't know what she meant by that. She said God gave her that exact same scripture, Isaiah 54. And I think I was more blessed than she was, because I felt like, wow, I really can't say that I heard a voice, but it was more like an impression. And I think for me, that was just a confirmation that moving in the Spirit can be different. For some people, it might be a picture. For some people, it might be an impression. For me, it tends to be scripture. I tend to get words from, you know, just scripture and then speak the word. So it was great to realize that actually I did have a gift, but I just hadn't recognized it.
Yeah. So. Well done. So Tosin was phenomenal when she went with us. And you hear right in the beginning, the first thing she said was she disqualified herself. She got sent an email and her first response was, it wasn't for me. And it's this pattern that I see with many people. And you know, we are a charismatic church, which basically means we believe in the active presence of the Holy Spirit upon the earth now. That's what we're going for. And last week, we just were giving some words from the front, and a lady in our church just went over in the Holy Spirit. No one was near her, no one prayed for her. And for some of us, we've seen that many times before. For others, you probably think, did she just have a heart attack? You know, what happened? Because it's sort of, you know, it's left field of your common experience of church. And actually, stuff like this is beginning to happen a little bit more. Now, some of us have been around at church a little bit longer. We've seen different things. We've seen the good, the bad, and the God, you know, and anywhere in between. And what I wanted to let you know is God is doing new things. And when stuff like that happens, one of the best things you can do is to, at a later point, if you don't understand what's happened, ask that person, oh, what happened? You know, what happened in your heart? Did something significant happen? And I think that's one of the best ways to navigate mystery. Rather than for you to fill in the blank, you go and ask the person, oh, what happened in that moment? So we actually had one of those moments on Tuesday. We gathered here, we prayed, and I'm going to invite Pete up to share, because Pete did something that was quite hilarious. And I want him to just share what he did and why it was funny. But actually, what he did was pretty irrelevant to what was probably going on the inside of him. So I just want to invite Pete up to come and share that story.
Yeah, so quite strange and wonderful. So on Tuesday, we were just having a time, and, you know, we sort of said, we just start with a short time of worship, and God just thought, hey, this isn't going to be a very short time. And we were just worshiping God, and I just felt an amazing sense of His Holy Spirit come upon me. And I was just like overwhelmed, consumed. And my response was, I roared like a lion. And the other people in the room went, whoo! That was a bit scary. And actually my wife said, oh yeah, was that helpful to people? And I, and I'm sure you did. And but actually, the truth of it is that it doesn't actually matter how you respond. And actually, you know, people like me that are shy, but actually, you know, the truth of it is, it doesn't matter how you respond, actually. You can shout, you can fall over, you could just be quiet. It doesn't matter. Mm. Actually, God's given us all different personalities. And actually, because we're different, we experience God's Holy Spirit in really different ways. But you know what? I just felt God touch my heart. Amen. And do you know what? I felt this morning, God says, you know, oh, it's something about that heart. You know, how much do we really want of God? I've been out with Dave and a few of the teams, and, you know, the more you see God move and the more you get a glimpse of it, you think, hey, I like this. I want a bit more.
Yeah.
I want more of God, because why don't you want the very best? I want the most intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not because I think, wow, I want to say, well, if God is that intimate with me, what will that enable me to do? Yeah, you know, and God just ministered to my heart, and I just felt God just really touch me in such a powerful way. But I'm sure Dave will be preaching on this day, but I just feel God this morning, you know, the experience I had is available for everyone. And, you know, it says, doesn't it, knock, ask, and God will be faithful to you. And I just feel God this morning is going to be really faithful. If you want to experience something of God's Holy Spirit and you want to, it's there for you. There's not an exclusive club. Yeah, and I just really want to share, you know, as I say, just oh, God, just on Tuesday, I was just bowled over by God's presence. God's presence. And I tell you what, there's nothing really special about me. And I do a lot of things that I'm sure God might look and say, oh, but I live under God's grace.
Yeah.
And God is just faithful. And my heart was, whoa. And I'm just excited for what God's going to do. Amen. God's going to do.
Great. It's great. And the thing that I like about what's happening is, let me explain like this. If I got a fork and shoved it into a socket, what's going to happen? There's going to be a bang. I'm going to go flying. Something is going to happen. And when we connect into God, we shouldn't expect everything to remain the same. When you connect into infinite love and infinite power, it should cause a difference. And if it doesn't, you've got to ask, what did you just connect yourself into? And with that in mind, I just wanted to, I know we're going for a sermon series and we should be in Luke 4:31, and we will come to that. But it is Easter Sunday, so it would be foolish to not just share some thoughts around Easter Sunday. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open to Matthew 27. And I just want you to have a look at verse 46, which is it's a quote from Psalms 22. And what's happening in this narrative that we're reading about the crucifixion is Jesus is having all of your sin, all of my sin, all of humanity's sin placed upon him. And in this moment of the sin of the entire world being placed upon him, he gets separated from the Father. And in this, because the sin has separated him, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Jesus knew that God was his Father. So when he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's akin to him saying, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, the beloved Son, in that moment, because of sin, becomes a fatherless orphan because he's separated from his Father. He's separated through the connection point of the Holy Spirit because God and sin don't get to coexist. You know, heaven doesn't have any sin in it. God does not have any sin in him. So when Jesus became filled with sin, his perfect connection with the Father was broken. And for the first time in all eternity, he experiences separation. He experiences what it's like to be an orphan. And he did that for us. He became an orphan so we could become heirs. Maybe I could explain it like this. Probably most of us at some point have had an overdraft or some debt. Yeah? Yeah? It's pretty commonplace, isn't it, in our society? And so what would happen if, let's just say that I am £1 million in debt, that you are £1 million in debt, and your bank manager keeps writing you letters saying you need to pay your debt, and then you keep writing letters back saying, I can't pay that debt. And this kind of goes on for a long time, and you have a correspondence with the bank manager. And then one day, the bank manager does something extraordinary, and he says, I'm going to pay all your debt. I'm going to pay all of your debt. And here's your new statement. What does your statement say? Zero. Okay, so at this point, you've gone from someone who is in debt to someone who is debt-free. That's great, isn't it? That's fantastic. And I would say most people's expression of Christianity is they recognize that they are in a debt of sin. They had some correspondence with the bank manager, who is God in this story, and then they got into the place of being debt-free. It's just the rain, people. It's England. and they get to this place of being debt-free, and they're, thank you, God, that I am debt-free. And that is their understanding of Christianity. I am debt-free. And they keep thinking, oh, I was £1 million in debt, but now I'm debt-free. But what happens if the bank manager wanted to take you further than debt-free? What would that look like? What happens if the bank manager says to you, I know you're £1 million in debt, here's £1 million, you're now debt-free, but rather than being a debtor to my bank account, you know what? I'd really like to invite you in as a son and daughter into the family business. So why don't you become an owner of the bank with me. What would that look like? So you go from being £1 million in debt to debt-free to the owner of the bank account. Now, if you're the owner of the bank account and you see your friend in debt, what are you going to do? It's not a trick question, people. What are you going to do? Your friend is £1 million in debt. You are now, you know, an owner of the business. You have license to spend the business's money. What are you going to do with the family business if your friend's over there in debt? You're going to go pay their debt, aren't you? So you go over here and you give them what they need to get them out of debt, and then you're going to leave them here in debt free? Or as an owner of the business, would you like to make them a co-owner with you? You see where this is going, people, right? This is what Easter is about. This is what Easter is about. And I hope that that example of money brings it home to you. Because Jesus didn't die for you to be debt-free. You just need to get that understanding. He did not just die for your sin. He died to make you a son and a daughter.
That's right.
That's what he died for. He just had to pay your debt to make this happen. But this was the ultimate goal. Being a son or daughter of God, a co-heir, was the ultimate goal. Yeah. Not just being debt-free. I just read that passage from Matthew 27. My God, why have you forsaken me? The first time Jesus experiences what it's like to be an orphan as the Holy Spirit comes off him. What do you think happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Because you're not like Jesus. In Jesus' starting point is relationship with God, and then he enters out of it. But we start separated from God. So what happens when God comes and connects you into him? Let's go to Romans 8. Okay, Romans 8, 14. This is what happens when you get connected to God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you a slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received bought your adoption to sonship. That includes women. You can be sons in this sense. It's a legal term talking about your rights. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are his heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Do you know when you shared in Christ's suffering? Anyone have an idea? When did you share in Christ's suffering? In the baptism tank. Your baptism, your water baptism, is Jesus' cross. When you were baptized in water, you shared in Christ's suffering, that you may share in his glory. And you know, in the kingdom of God, there is only one direction. Did you know this? There's one direction in the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 3, let me read it to you. Now, the Lord is spirit. This is verse 17. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. So your journey in the kingdom is of ever-increasing glory. You are going from glory to 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 heavenly glory, to glory untold, to glory unseen. There is one direction in the kingdom. And the beauty of that is it doesn't matter where you start, it's about where you end. So when a Lama Day comes up and talks about dead things coming to life, now my life was a mess. It's going from glory to glory now.
Amen.
Your life was a mess. And it's going from glory to glory.
Amen.
It's going from glory to glory.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you're facing now, it's going from glory to glory. It's an incredible truth.
Yeah.
Jesus knew he was the Father's son. He knew the Father's business. And in our Luke series, we've been looking at what the Father's business is. It's the commission in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news, to bring healing, liberty, freedom, joy. This is the Father's business. And Jesus is well enlisted in it. And that's what he came to do. And then he said, now you go do the same. Come and be part of the family business. Come and be a co-heir with me and work in the same business. See, the bank account of heaven is dispensing joy, freedom, peace, healing, and goodness. The bank account of hell is distributing death, sickness, poverty, fear, anxiety, worry. Whose bank do you want to be an heir in? Whose bank do you want to work for? The bank of hell or the bank of heaven? So let's look at Jesus doing the family business. Let's get into our text in this Luke series. Luke 4, 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, talking about Jesus, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. If you've got a pen or a highlighter on your iPhone, just highlight the word authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "and come out of him." The demon threw the man down before all the people and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed, and they said to each other, "What words are these?" Just highlight, what words are these? With authority and power. He gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. He bent over her and rebuked, highlight the word rebuked if you can, the fever, and it left her. And she got up and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought many people to Jesus who had various kinds of sickness, and laying hands on each of them, he healed them. Just highlight laying hands. And moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Now, all I want to just highlight from this text is that Jesus brings healing of the physical body. He brings healing for those who are being tormented by demons. Now, the whole thing of demons is just hilarious in our country. We just don't really recognize it. But demons are basically fallen angels, and they have ways of thinking, and they'll try and shift your thinking. Now, in other parts of the world, you can see that really manifest, but here it's more subtle. And I would say that atheism, as it absolutely hammers the truth of God, is a demonic spirit at work. It's a type of thinking. Well, I'm not going to spend too much time going into that because it'll just be a completely different sermon. But let's just look at the text and see that Jesus brings healing in many different ways to many different people. And the thing that I'd like to highlight the most is that on these stories of healing, there is a rebuke, there is the laying of hands, and there is words. Three different ways of God's power breaking in and changing the situation. A rebuke, words, and the laying of hands. So is the power that Jesus has in the methodology that Jesus does? Just think about it. Is the power in the methodology? So as in, if I prayed for someone with a broken leg and put four fingers on them, are they more likely to get healed than if I put five fingers on them? Is it in the methodology? No, it's not. So if it's not in the methodology, what is the power in? If it's not in method, what is it in? It's in relationship. It's in sonship. Because Jesus is a son. And he knows that his Father has all authority. And he knows that he's a co-heir with all of that authority. So his understanding of himself releases the power of God into the situation. It releases heaven onto earth. Let me convince you on this point. Let's go to Acts 19. And this is one of my most beloved and hilarious stories in all of Scripture. Acts 19. Paul is in Ephesus, as in the Apostle Paul, and we'll pick up in verse 14. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirits answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on the seven sons and overpowered them and gave them such a beating that they ran out naked. It's fantastic. No, it's incredible. Because you are not the seven sons of Sceva. And it's about time that you understood that you are like Christ and Paul in the story. You are not the seven sons of Sceva. These guys watched some people moving in power and copied the method. They said, "Come out of him in Jesus, in the name who Paul preaches." You can see in their prayer there is no connection with God. Because they're going through Paul to Jesus to the Father. They've got no direct relationship with the Father themselves. But Paul had instant access. He had a relationship. And therefore spiritual powers knew about Paul because they knew who he belonged to. And I would like to propose to us, church family, that sickness and poverty and disease and spiritual powers know who you are because you know who you are. Do you know you're God's beloved son and daughter? Do you know you're a co-heir with Christ? Do you know it? Because once you start knowing it, the world of impossibility is opened up to you. Because you start tapping into heaven's reality, which has to have an impact on earth's reality. Now there's tension, and there's hardship, and there's trial. This week has been a week like that filled with me. My wife has been in and out of hospital this week. I have cars breaking down. But the bizarre thing is all these things are happening, but at the same time, God is blessing me, and I have people giving me money, and other people getting made well, and other people falling down in the spirit. And I'm just sitting there, I don't understand everything, but I know that you love me, that you're for me, that you're always good, that you desire to bless me and my family. And I don't have to make sense of every circumstance. But what I must do is I must not let my circumstances dictate what the Father says about me.
Amen.
And that is so often the case, church, that when things are difficult, we start saying, okay, well, God's not really for me, and God's against me, and God's this and God's that. And you instantly start attacking your own relationship with God because of your circumstances. Circumstances come and go. Family stays the same. Anyone with a dysfunctional family will know that. I think it's a new day, church, for us. It's a new day of knowing who we are. The power, the love, the signs, the glory, the miracle stories, they come as a direct result of knowing who you are. And even they do not justify that. When the disciples began to move in power, Jesus said, "Don't celebrate about moving in power. Celebrate that your name is written in the book of life. Celebrate that you're a son. Celebrate that you're a daughter." This Easter, I want to encourage you. It's time to move out of the zero. You're not just debt-free. You are co-heir with Christ in glory. And to that effect, I'd love to pray for you, because I feel that God wants to impart something of adoption and sonship and baptism of the Holy Spirit afresh. Now, you don't have to respond to this, but I would encourage you that if you want to go to a deeper place in God, you need to have a continual filling of his Holy Spirit in your life, because it is the Holy Spirit that testifies to your spirit that you are a daughter, or you are a son, that you are adopted. And understanding your adoption will bring the kingdom of God through your life.